As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to the 3-0 Show, part of the Athletic Baseball Show. Happy opening day. It is Thursday, March 30th. The three of us, myself, Derek Van Riper, Sarah Spatrulli, we're talking the day before opening day. It's Wednesday, March 29th. It's important for me to establish these boundaries as a new father because I don't know what day it is, what time it is, what's happening, what meal is supposed to be eaten unless someone tells me it needs to be done. Usually it's a crying baby or it's the kind assistance of my wife. But I'm back from paternity leave. Leg one, I'm here. I'm upright. Look, I'm showered. I got cleaned up for this. I'm wearing nice sweatpants, not bad sweatpants.
Nice,
I feel
sweatpants.
Like I deserve some kind of award for the quality of the condition I'm in for my return, even though we're scrambling just a little bit.
I think you look a million times better than I did at 6 weeks, so you're crushing it.
Well, you did the very hard part of the process, so having witnessed that now, I think anyone who recovers from that at all is just amazing. There's no other way to describe it. But today, we are talking about bold predictions, maybe a few standard predictions as well. This is kind of an annual tradition for the three of us. The goal is to shock the entire podcast, the listening audience, all of us as hosts, with your boldest predictions for the upcoming season. Britt, you have the opportunity to lead off for us. Now, I think the instructions were pretty simple on the rundown. We each have to give three. We're going to spread them out. So
all
your
right.
Least bold of your three goes first. So you're going to hit us with the boldest one later on.
Oh, but they're all bold. They're all equally bold. Okay. I also have a bold prediction for this podcast that Eno is going to stop waffling, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
No.
I will be decisive. Should I have a daily affirmation? Today is March 29th, and I will be decisive today.
Exactly. I was going to say that I was going to start to look human on this podcast, but yeah, it's early in the morning, even though I'm on East Coast time. So my least bold prediction, because I feel like everyone at least has some version of this every year, and it never comes true, is that the Angels are going to make the playoffs. Eventually, they have to make the playoffs, right? They have Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Anthony Rendon looks to be healthy. Eventually, especially with expanded postseason, right? Like, people keep saying this. I know Ken Rosenthal had a great column last year where he was bullish on the Angels. I haven't seen it this year because I think people are just tired of predicting something that's not happening, which is why, as a reverse jinx, everyone's saying it's not happening. We've tried for years. I'm now saying it's going to be happening. The Angels are going to make the playoffs.
What's hilarious to me is that they are projected to make the playoffs, and yet it's a bold take still.
It's still bold. It's my least bold, but it's bold. It's bold.
How many times have they been projected to make the playoffs and haven't made it? So this is the year. This is the year.
Yeah, I think the starting pitching's decent. The key for them, of course, Rendon's healthy, along with Trout and Ohtani, the big three, as they are. And they've added a few secondary pieces. We'll see if the bullpen is good enough. I think they're unable to withstand a lot of injuries in that group. They could become a really bad relief unit pretty quickly. But they do have a couple back-end starters that could take big steps forward. We saw a little bit of that from Reed Detmers last year. I mean, that was a pleasant surprise as well. So I'm with you, Britt. I think that's still bold, even though, as Eno said, they do project as a playoff team. Eno, what's your first bold prediction for 2023?
One name for you in that bullpen that's going to have outsized importance is Ben Joyce, probably. Was just drafted last year in the third round, but totally ready to dominate, I think, with that 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
One other name to mention, I think, is Patrick Sandoval, who had just a terrific WBC, who I think may surprise some people as well.
That's all right. Sorry, people were very angry about his stuff number. My bold prediction is also a team, and I have stolen it from myself because I wrote a bold predictions column, but and I'll have to say I think it's a little bit bolder than the Angels. The Orioles make the playoffs. They're projected for 78 wins and more, languishing in mediocrity, but and they sent down all the players I like, which are Grayson Rodriguez, their hot and young starter. Jordan Westberg, I think their shortstop of the future. Colton Cowser, Connor Norby, all those guys are ready to participate in the major leagues, and I think will be at least two or three of them will be standout players. They've already have Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman. Adley Rutschman's projected to be the best catcher in baseball this year all around. And so, you know, we just had our player tiers. There was a lot of disagreement from people around the game about whether Adley Rutschman is going to get there this year. A lot of agreement, I think, that he will get there eventually and be the best catcher in the game. So, you know, you got the best catcher in the game at some point soon. Gunnar Henderson was a lot of people's pick to break out. And you got all these people knocking on the door. And in the meantime, they've assembled an okay team. So you take an okay team and you've got a great stable of young prospects that are ready to hit the ground running. And I think this team, it might be next year, but I'm going to predict it's this year.
I like it. I think the reinforcements will be coming throughout the year. I mean, I don't think Grayson Rodriguez stays down for very long. I think a lot of us were surprised that they didn't make room for him. I think the important thing with pitching development is making sure your young guys with an innings cap give you as many of those innings as possible without running the risk of slow playing them and having them get hurt. And with Grayson Rodriguez's injury history, it's particularly important for him. So I think if he's three or four really nice outings at AAA to begin the season, we're going to see him reasonably quickly in Baltimore. And I mean, D.L. Hall, the stuff numbers on him are incredible. Maybe he's another Matt Brash type, but if he can get the command where it needs to be, he's an impact starter. No doubt about that. My first bold prediction is not a team to make the playoffs, but a team that didn't make the playoffs to win more games than a team that was in the World Series last year. So we'll see if this kind of holds the same level as your two.
Ooh, a complicated one.
Mine's complicated, but it gives me more ways to be right. The White Sox will win more games than the Phillies in 2023.
Ooh, spicy.
Okay. So the White Sox are another team that everyone keeps picking to be good, and now they're not. So Derek is playing they can still be good. You forgot.
Yeah, I don't want to suffer the Angels whack-a-mole that I've been on the receiving end of for the last couple of years. I'm going to pick a new team at this point. Well, so I think the White Sox, the key here, they've kind of done the Freaky Friday thing, which the Phillies are already racking up the injuries that the White Sox were dealing with this time last year. And I think both of these teams have, in recent years, had some depth issues, less so now for the Phillies than a few years ago. But when I look at the White Sox and I see this being a completely healthy core group, or mostly healthy core group, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Tim Anderson, Yasmani Grandal, Lance Lynn, those guys were not healthy for long stretches last year. The AL Central still has two very bad teams in it. The NL East only has one very bad team in it. And I think when you're looking at win totals, that's going to make a pretty big difference over the course of the year. We talked about it when it happened. Tony La Russa just was not the right fit to manage that club. I think Pedro Grifol will be. I wouldn't be surprised if Pedro Grifol ends up getting some votes for Eno's favorite award, AL Manager of the Year, by season's end. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But we've seen it with the Phillies, right? We've seen the Bryce Harper injury. Adding Trey Turner is huge. They're a great team. These teams could both be good, and I could end up being right because the White Sox are one game better, right? So I guess in terms of boldness, maybe I'm hedging just a little bit, but this is as much a White Sox are probably better than we think, and the Phillies' path to get back to where they were at the end of last season is also incredibly difficult with the injuries that are piling up with Harper and Rhys Hoskins down for considerable periods of time.
Yeah, so during the season when we have a lull in action, I think we should just do a episode titled, Why Does This Podcast Hate the Phillies?
Hey, I don't want to be on the bad side of the Philadelphia fan base. I'm going to leave that to you, Britt. That's your territory.
I apologize, but Derek, you're going hard now on the White Sox, who might not be a very good team. It's bold.
All right. Bold enough for the first one from me.
The big one is injury, and we're not that good at knowing at projecting injuries, so it could just be they all are healthy this year, and that's all it takes. But I will point out that Juan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, and Andrew Vaughn have all dealt with some injuries already early on, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, Moncada has fallen in importance for me in this core, though, too. I think he's a little more of a secondary guy than an important core sort of guy, but Britt, we're on to you for your second bold prediction for 2023.
Okay, here's my second bold one, which is more bold than the Angels going to the playoffs when they were picked to go to the playoffs. I think we're going to see a 70 base stealer this year. Now, maybe that doesn't sound super bold to people. The last time we saw a guy steal 70 bases was Jacoby Ellsbury in 2009. So it is absolutely something that has just not been in baseball. I've talked to a lot of people, and it's not just the 4.5 inches shorter that it is from second to third, from first to second, second to third. It's also just the disengagement. Guys now know that pitchers have a limit on how often they can throw over. And it's just going to be a total game changer for anybody with speed. For anybody, not even just with speed, but for anybody who's really good at reading pitchers' moves. I've been talking to a lot of people in the game, and it's only a matter of time before pitchers who are also dealing with a pitch clock, who have a lot thrown at them, fall into these predictive patterns. And, you know, you're going to see some adjustments, and I think you're going to see some guys better than others, but particularly off left-handers, I think it's going to become a track meet in certain areas. Now, I don't know who it is. Is it going to be Trey Turner and Whit Merrifield, who are kind of like the two top guys? Or is it going to be some guy out of nowhere, right? Is Jazz Chisholm going to stay healthy for a full season and pull that kind of speed, right? You know, anybody, Kyle Tucker, anybody who had like 20, 25 steals really has the chance to be that guy. I think we're going to see a lot of teams take advantage of this. We're going to see a lot of teams kind of approach the way they construct their roster later in the season differently. Because if you have a guy on first and all of a sudden he's on third, that's a game changer, especially when we have no shift. We're going to have more balls put into play, theoretically. I think we may see 70 stolen bases, which we're talking about is this huge number, right? I did a story with Ricky Henderson earlier this week. He stole 100 bases three times, three different seasons. So did Vince Coleman. This used to be like an absolute no doubter that we would see that, but it would still be bold in the year of 2023.
I'm with you on that. I think the big question for me is what type of player is going to do it? Are the star players that run going to run enough to get there? Is it Turner? Is it Acuna? Is it someone like that? Or do they hit too many home runs? Is that the limiting factor? I'm not saying that like hitting home runs is a bad thing. I'm just saying you can't steal as many bases when you hit home runs. That's just the
could it be a rookie like Corbin Carroll?
A Corbin Carroll or a Struy Ruiz, you know, kind of a throat. Like Struy Ruiz just reminds me of like a Juan Pierre type hitter. He can play center field. Maybe that drives his playing time enough. The A's are so bad. They're just like perpetual green light, man. Run as much as you want. And maybe he's the sort of guy that does it. Or John Birdie. Yeah. John Birdie had 25 steals in 79 games last year. But I like that. I think that's also it's bold. Medium boldness. Very appropriate for a second bold prediction. How about you? You know, how about a second one from you?
All right, I'll go along the same lines of you know, intertwining with the new rules and looking at trends. I'm going to say that someone is going to hit 350 this year. And if you need me to get into bolder pants, I'm going to say it's Freddie Freeman that hits 350 this year, 350 plus.
Wow.
And the reason that it's somewhat bold is the last time we had someone cross the 350 threshold in a full year was Josh Hamilton in 2010. And the last time we even had someone cross the 340 threshold in a full season was 2018 with Mookie Betts. And him and Altuve, the only ones who have done it in recent times. So those guys are weird because they're righties. And the reason that I think it'll be Freddie Freeman this time is he hit 341 in the shortened 2020 season. He has the line drive skills. He hits a lot of hard line drives to the pull side where there can no longer be three guys standing there. So Freddie Freeman is also not someone that you would want to pull an outfielder and stick an outfielder over there because Freddie Freeman could easily dunk doubles over the third baseman's head all day. So I think that Freddie Freeman hitting 350 is my bold prediction.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think when I look at the projections from the Bat X for the upcoming season, Freeman is number one in batting average at 304. I think the new rules across
you
gotta
the board. You got to root it in something, right? You got to pick the right guy.
You got to pick the right guy. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, Freeman makes sense because most of your elite batting average guys are low strikeout rate guys. So you want one that does hit the ball hard. Luis Arraez, I think, could be the sort of player that does something like that too. It's fun that these new rules might actually help more than one player type, which I'm coming at that more from like a fantasy perspective. But when you think about roster building in Major League Baseball, if everybody has to try and pursue the same type of player, that's not a fun game. If you homogenize the player pool, you make everyone try to do the same thing, lift the ball, pull the ball with power, that's not as fun as having four or five different
multiple ways to
functional
win the game,
skill
right?
set. Yes, more paths to win the game, more player types to draft and build around would make it a lot more exciting. So I think that's right up there on the same level of boldness with Britt and the 70 steals. You know, I think I like both of those quite a bit. I did not adhere to my own assignment. At least I didn't mix it up and have one rules one. I didn't say to do that, but I kind of thought about it. I just couldn't come up with a good one. So I have another team one. I think the Arizona Diamondbacks make the playoffs. And I think this is very similar to Eno's interest in the Orioles, right? All the things you said about the Orioles, I think also can apply to Arizona. I think the question is, do they have that wave of young talent ready right now? I don't know if they have it in volume the same way the Orioles do. You listed off so many players who did well in the upper levels last year in that system who will be big leaguers by the end of this season, almost certainly. The D-backs do it a little bit differently. I think with this team, you got Corbin Carroll, the NL Rookie of the Year favorite, kind of a co-favorite now, Jordan Walker, looking at some of the latest odds. They made that interesting trade with the Jays that brought them back a young catcher, Gabriel Moreno, plus Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who's coming off of a down year power-wise. If you get kind of the pre-2022 Gurriel, that's a nice upgrade to the lineup. Moreno could surprise. And the young starting pitching, Brandon Pha, who they sent down, just like Grayson Rodriguez, is going to be up soon. Unlike Grayson Rodriguez, I don't think he has any sort of innings limit. I think Brandon Pha can throw as much as anybody else in that rotation because he was among the league leaders in the minor leagues in innings pitched last year. So I think he ends up being an upgrade. You've got a couple other young guys. Dre Jameson's working out of the bullpen right now. Ryan Nelson made the opening day rotation. We saw a big step forward from Zach Gallen last year. And a few names have started to emerge in the bullpen. You know, I saw Carlos Vargas mentioned from you yesterday. Really good stuff for him. Scott McGuff, who they got back from Japan. He was a really effective closer overseas for the last 4 years. He comes back to join that bullpen. They've got another young reliever, Justin Martinez, who's probably going to be up at some point this year.
Triple
so I think
digits.
One of their big weaknesses is actually going to be fixed, and they've got a nice young group of position players, kind of like we talked about a few of these other teams, health being a key. Ketel Marte is healthy. That hasn't been the case for the better part of the last 2 years now, I think. Having him healthy also makes this team better. So I could see this being a big step forward sort of year for Arizona. And if you're going to put the Diamondbacks in the playoffs, you're probably not putting three NL East teams in the playoffs. Or if you're doing that, you have to have something else surprising happening out West. So perhaps that gives you a little bit of a hint at what my final bold prediction is going to be. Now,
I'll save it then. I was going to ask that follow up, so I will save it.
I'll save it. I think I have the championship winning bold prediction for the show for this year. I think I have it. Doesn't have to be right. Oh, it just has to be the boldest, i.e. the dumbest.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
My spiciest take is going to be the World Series champion. Brace yourselves. I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners. spicy because they Yes, I mean last year
Whoa, that is bold.
Thank you. You both me and I was like, wait, this is not spicy.
No, yes. I thought you meant just to win their division, which is bold enough because the Astros are in the division.
I don't even think they may win their division. I think they may get in as a wild card team and run the tables. Now, do I think they're the best team in baseball? No. But how often do we see the actual best team in baseball win the World Series, guys? We really
don't. Not very often.
Not very often. Now, I think Houston is terrific. I think they'll probably still win the division, but the door is ajar. Seattle is catching up, and Houston has had a ton of injuries already this spring. Jose Altuve, out till June. Michael Brantley, out longer than the 10 days that they hoped. Yordan Alvarez. I spoke to GM Dana Brown. I have a story that'll be running Thursday on the Astros, and he said they're basically going to treat the early part of the season like spring training for him. He's not going to be in the lineup all the time. That's going to hurt as well. So they lose Justin Verlander. Yes, they still have a great rotation. Yes, I think they still win the AL West, but I think Seattle is going to sneak in as a wild card team, get hot, and win the whole thing. I think Julio Rodriguez is a legitimate AL MVP candidate. I think Jared Kelnick is finally going to have that bounce back season we've all been waiting for. I think Scott Servais is a terrific manager. Cal Raleigh, their catcher, should really help from the new rules. He's a guy who hits into the shift all the time. Robbie Ray has had a good spring. I mean, very quietly, this Seattle team is pretty good. You know, I've covered teams, the 2019 Nationals, who snuck in as a wild card team, ran the table. I actually crunched the numbers. The wild card teams actually performed very well historically in the postseason. So I think Seattle gets hot at the right time. And we're all sitting there saying, wow, Brittany is an actual genius.
I think the lack of surprise for me is that I agree with you. And I think this is a really good team. I think the Astros have had a couple of things go wrong, and losing Verlander and, you know, replacing star players the way they have, that's an amazing thing to do. It speaks to the quality of the organization they've built and the depth they have. Eventually, enough happens where you don't quite hit that same level. I think we're beginning to see the signs of that. Can they still win the division? I'm with you. Yeah, they could. I actually think the Mariners win this division, though. I think that's part of the story. I think they pull ahead of the Astros. The Astros still go to the playoffs. And top to bottom, this is a solid Seattle lineup with the star power that we're looking for. The rotation first four is really strong with Castillo, Ray, Gilbert, and George Kirby. Marco Gonzalez, a little more of an innings eater that sort of just gets you to the postseason. Not someone you necessarily want starting games once you get to October. And their bullpen is nasty. I mean, you know, I know you've looked at this a few times in recent years. They're usually at or near the top in terms of total stuff plus in that relief corps, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They are. Andres Munoz and Paul Sewald are both top 10 pitchers by stuff plus, pitchers overall. So, you know, and they do it so differently. I kind of love it because that's I think, a key sometimes in the postseason is that you can't run out there with the same reliever over and over again. They'll just get used to that. So you got Andres Munoz with 100 and a crazy 92-mile-an-hour slider, but then you got Paul Sewald. He's only at 93, but he's from that funky angle. They got Penn Murphy that's totally sidearm. They've got that whole clock face thing that the Rays have had in the past.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Houston is the best bullpen in baseball. They were last year. They had a ridiculous, I think it was 0.87 ERA, ridiculous amount of strikeouts in the playoffs, and they returned their bullpen. But I think Seattle becomes the big surprise here. They host the All-Star game, and then we're back there in late October, guys. Just imagine it with the big Believe Ted Lasso signs. I love it. I'm all in.
I think that's your boldest take, and it's a very good one, Britt. I like it.
Thank you.
All right, how about you? All you know, right, what's your boldest take for 2023?
I'm a little nervous that you've got something on the NL West, so I'm switching here last minute, and I may overshoot my boldness here.
You did have 10 of them in a story the other day.
That's right. So, and I also have, I'm trying not to crib too much for myself. So here's one where I'm just sort of stepping into the void. I don't necessarily have a lot of proof on this one, but I'm going to predict that Ronald Acuna Jr. has 100 combined home runs and stolen bases.
Ooh, that's big.
And the projections say he will have 29 homers and 40 stolen bases. So I'm projecting another 30 homers and stolen bases combined, and that's pretty rough. The reason I'm doing, though, is because Ronald Acuna was showing signs of being fully healthy last year, even when the overall line wasn't as exciting. He hit the ball, you know, in terms of maximum exit velocity about as hard as he had in the past. he was still barreling the ball. He just hit too many ground balls and chased too many pitches. Those things are things he can fix. Those things I don't think are gone because he had ACL surgery. I think that's just him getting back into the swing of things after a major surgery. I think he can go back to being elite. I think the new rules help him on the stolen base side, and I think the power will come up. So I guess I'm hoping for something like close to 40 homers and close to, and I guess 60 steals. It sounds crazy when I say it now, so it has to be bold. But yeah. In other words, I'm trying to tell you, Ronald Acuña Jr. is back.
Yeah, he could be the 70 steal guy, and then you're all good.
Yeah, that's another way. Yeah, there's a few ways to be right. Very bold, because I mean, yeah, you think, yeah. I hear the 100 combo, I'm like 50-50. Whoa, that's intense. But yeah, 40-60, 30-70, 20-80. Hey, 20-80 yeah. would be interesting, or 25-75. Lots of paths for Ronald Acuña Jr. to do it. I'm just glad he's healthy again. I'm with you. You know, I just think the key in all of this for me, a healthy Acuña is good for baseball, obviously good for Atlanta too, but there are a lot of people that were taking him first overall in their fantasy drafts. I think it's going to be justified. Even if he doesn't quite make your bold prediction level, I think people are going to be really happy with that decision if they did that over the course of the spring.
Yeah, I'm going to see him tomorrow. You know, I'm going to ask him for you.
You should, yeah. Can you run more? Can you make this bold prediction for our friend come true? Can you help us out?
Yeah.
I
asked Dexter Fowler once why he didn't steal more bases for my fantasy team, and that did not go well.
Oh, God. Really
so I'm
nice
guessing,
guy.
I'm going to guess major league players, I know they play a lot of fantasy football. They probably don't reach out to football players and say, hey, can you score more touchdowns for me? Can you rush for more yards
and they,
for me?
They know that people are blowing up in their DMs. You cost me X amount on the bet today. And that's just awful. Please don't do that.
Don't do that. There's
don't ever tell a player you're on their fantasy team. I've seen it. It's cringy.
Yes, it's cringy.
Well, I'm going to try and make the boldest prediction of my life, which is probably the dumbest prediction of my life. And I think, you know, maybe was leaning this way. I hope we're at least of similar mind here, so I'm not on Derek Island again. But the Dodgers will miss the playoffs for the first time since 2012.
Oh.
They're going to miss the playoffs.
Ooh.
I'm going to add
yours,
a layer.
You know? Was that yours?
I was going to say the Padres win the West.
Okay.
It's a little bit less bold, actually.
it's a little less bold. It's going to be a problem. This is going to be horrible for the rest of the league when this happens, because come this winter, when Shohei Ohtani's a free agent and the Dodgers inevitably throw $687 million at Shohei Ohtani, he's going there, right? Yeah. This isn't going to be some beginning of the end for the Dodgers. This is going to be one of those little blips that you look at on Baseball Reference. Like 10 more years are going to pass, and we're going to say, wow, they didn't make the playoffs back in 2023. But every year for like the next 10 after this one, they're going to make it, and they'll probably win two more World Series during that time as well. So obviously, they lost Trey Turner. Losing Gavin Lux on top of that, you know, took their best replacement, who wasn't going to be Trey Turner, and forced them to now rely a lot on Miguel Rojas, who is just, to me, like a good clubhouse guy, good glove at short, and nothing with the bat. They have a lot of talent there. Yes, Freeman, Betts, Will Smith. This is still a very good team. This is a team that if they don't make the playoffs, if my prediction comes true, it's because they missed it by a couple games, not because they were 10 games out of the last spot. Obviously, it's not going to be the kind of thing that I'm sitting pretty with in early September. I keep thinking there's a lot of maybes on this team, though, right? We have a maybe Max Muncy getting back to pre-2022 levels. Maybe Miguel Vargas is truly healthy and able to contribute at a high level. Maybe James Outman is very good and helps them in center field. I'm worried about Chris Taylor at this point. You know, they've been trying to replace Walker Buehler because he got hurt last year. They've had to deal with that so far, and they've done really well because their pitching depth is so good. But Tony Gonsolin, regression is coming for him regardless of his health, and he's banged up right now. See, maybe you rely a lot on Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller and Michael Grove, and that can be fine. Like, they could be okay in terms of their starting pitching depth, but Noah Syndergaard isn't getting as much velocity back as many of us had hoped. He looks more like just a back-end guy now than an impact guy. I could be eating those words 2 months from now. I know they did it with Tyler Anderson last year, and they're probably going to make me especially, look dumb with this entire prediction. I think there's enough cracks in this roster already where all it's going to take is another bad break or two between now and the middle of the season, and the outlook will change completely. They're fine right now by projection. They're still an easy playoff team. a possible 1A, 1B battle with the Padres as they're currently constructed. But they look a little more wobbly to me than they have in a long time. And I just think maybe it's the fallout from a very unusual men's tournament in March Madness that has me thinking that things could be a little chaotic. 2023 feels like a chaotic year for me in the world of sports.
No, I think that's good. Well, also, I think this is the worst year to try to predict anything because nobody has any idea what these rules are going to mean on the field. No one. No one. So I think that's bold, but I could see it. You sold me. I see a definite path where they're at home. And I think you could probably speak to this, but like how do the projections that come out this year, how does any computer model what's going to happen when we have so many new rules? It seems like this is the year where you really just can't trust anything.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we've done that I've seen done is that we looked at the minor leagues and there was about a 25% increase in stolen bases. So you can just apply that 25%. But the way that I think they normally do it is just basically give everybody 25% more steals. But that's not how it's going to work. You know, some guys will steal a lot more than they usually did because now, it's 4 inches closer and that's all they needed to kind of start stealing more. And some guys were stealing as much as they could already. So, you know, it's not going to be just a uniform 25%. The same thing happens on the batting average on balls in play side. You can say, batting average on balls in play went up this much, but it's not going to go up the same for a righty who wasn't shifted before. Or you could say, here's the difference between being shifted and not being shifted, but that doesn't account for a lot of contextual stuff. So, yeah, it's really hard on the specific player level, and then it's hard on the team level too. You can say from way up high, baseball is going to have about 25% more steals this year, and the BABIP is going to go up 5 to 10 points. But when you talk about players and teams, it's a lot of chaos.
Yeah. And also, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a lot more intensity and strategy in the big leagues than in the minor leagues. The focus in the minor leagues is development. Focus in the big leagues is winning. So you can take
and sometimes
some
it's not even
there.
Development. Sometimes the focus in the minor leagues for the player is to get noticed. So there are players that will steal you 75 bags in high A just to get, go to double A. You know what I mean? Just to be like, hey, I'm here. I got speed, and then it's not necessarily the best thing for the team or the player. And, if they can hit for power, they start stealing less. But my point is yes, you're right. You're right. There's a lot of different things going on in the minor leagues. And in the major leagues, they're just also better at execution. Everyone's better. So, if there is a strategy put in place, then they're going to execute it quicker and better than they do in the minors.
Well stated. Yeah, the year of chaos, though. I like most of these rule changes. I'm excited to see how they all play out over the course of the upcoming season.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
We have a set of standard predictions. We're not going to spend as much time on these because everybody makes these. These almost are just like the essential, you write about baseball, you talk about baseball, you have to put it out there sort of thing. So we'll kind of rapid fire through the awards. Yeah, just give me a name. You can give me a line. We've got 10-ish minutes, so you can add a little bit of analysis, but we got to get through a lot of these pretty quickly. So, Eno, I'll start with you. Who is your pick for the American League Rookie of the Year Award?
I think I'm going to go chalk and go with Anthony Volpe. He made the team out of spring training. He is a guy with a lot of speed that could take advantage of the new speed rules. He's going to be the Yankees shortstop. I mean, that's just adding all up to, you know, even if he hits 280 with 15 homers and 30 steals, you know, it's with the defensive value, he's going to be at the top of the leaderboards. And I think he wins it.
Yeah, I was going to go there as well. So I will save the rehash and also say that I think Gunnar Henderson in Baltimore deserves a nod and is probably going to be that, like, if they're both healthy, it's going to be a two-man race, I think, most of the year.
Yes, I wanted, if there was not going to be another name mentioned, I was going to say Gunnar.
Yeah, Gunnar is going to be my pick, actually. I mean, they're both odds-on favorites near it. I think Henderson might be the number one favorite right now. Fantasy-wise, Volpe went through the roof during the final weekend of drafts because we found out he's actually going to make the team. But I think with Henderson, I think we know he can hit the ball hard, and I think Volpe will hit the ball hard, but it's just a little more of a question. That core skill might take a little time for Volpe. We've seen Henderson in the big leagues. Give the edge to Henderson if you're in my shoes, I think is where I'm at right now. NL Rookie of the Year. That picture's changed a little bit since the start of spring training. Eno, we'll give you this one first as well.
I'm going to go chalk again. Corbin Carroll, baby. We've had a lot of discussions on rates and barrels in your absence. Oh, thank you. I'm so happy you're back. That Corbin Carroll's hasn't really shown the top-end power output that we kind of expect from the top prospect in the game. But on the other hand, he gets to his power often and hits the ball hard very often. So even if he doesn't hit 120 mile an hour missiles like O'Neill Cruz, I think he hits the ball hard enough. Also, I think he's the fastest player in the game. He is the fastest player in the game. So I think, you know, there could easily be sort of a 60 steal, even if it comes with 20 homers. Yeah. I think that's an easy way to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he's a guy to watch. Henderson's pretty quick, too. So I think both of those guys could have a lot of stolen bases. I agree with Eno, but like the last time, I'm also going to give a nod to Jordan Walker at a Cardinals camp with 20 years old, makes that team. I think a lot of people weren't sure if he was going to make it or not. And then my dark horse pick, which I didn't think was bold enough because I think some people say, that can happen. Cordae Senga could emerge. And if he does, I think that would really help the Mets because we all know Verlander and Scherzer are good. But that third starter is often the separator on a good team from a great team, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's I think it's weird that players that come in from foreign leagues who are pros already are eligible for the award, but it's true. He is eligible for the award, and I do like that as a pick odds-wise where you're actually getting a pretty good number if you're on the betting side of this one. I'm on the Corbin Carroll train as well. I do like Jordan Walker, but I think Carroll has a very balanced skill set, kind of like the projection you described for Volpe. That's sort of what I'm expecting from Corbin Carroll this year. You know, the 15 homers, 30 steals, play every day, make an impact with the glove. All those things should lead him to win that award. Britt, you get to go first on this one. AL Cy Young, who's your pick?
Ooh, I mean, it's so easy and so tempting to pick Shohei Ohtani because he wins all the time. And I think he's a guy who we forget, right, because he's been so good, having just watched him at the World Baseball Classic. We forget. We're like, he still can't be. Yeah, I think he could probably win it again. And I think he's going to be motivated by the fact that, hey, this might be his last year. So it's going to be an audition every time he starts. So I'm going to go with Ohtani, which is super boring, I know.
Nah, never boring to go with Ohtani.
To a Cy Young, I mean, you're on a very short list.
Yeah. How about you, Eno?
I'm going to go with Gerrit Cole. I had a interesting discussion with him that's going to turn into a larger piece about the role of his cutter this year. And, you know, it's interesting to make a big deal out of something he says he's going to throw 3 to 4 times a game. However, he gives up a fair amount of home runs to lefties. And if he can reduce home runs to lefties by a quarter of a home run per game by throwing some more cutters instead of elevated fastballs to lefties, then he could have a 280 ERA. I mean, that's the only thing that stood between Gerrit Cole and greatness in terms of the Cy Young is a bit of a tough home park for homers, and then just a propensity for giving up homers because he lives high in the zone. Otherwise, he's led the league forever in strikeouts. If you, however far you go back 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, Gerrit Cole led the league in strikeouts. And so if you take the strikeouts and you reduce the homers, you get a Cy Young. So I think 3 to 4 cutters a game could be a big deal.
Yeah, that would be huge for his overall results, being able to fix that flaw against lefties. I'm going Shane McClanahan. I think we're at the point. Kid gloves are completely off. He can work like any other starter. A little further down the list in terms of odds, but the stuff is filthy. One of my favorite pitchers to watch, so I think he could actually get it done and bring home some hardware this year.
He threw more changeups this spring, too.
Adding more to that arsenal, love it. Or balancing it out more, love it. Let's go to the NL Cy Young. How about you first, Britt?
I mean, is it going to come out of the Mets? I think that's a pretty good chance. Now, does Verlander follow up a Cy Young in the AL with a Cy Young in the NL? Probably not. But I think Max Scherzer could. It's been a couple of years since he's won. Keep in mind, he's the most competitive person I've covered in 15 years in baseball, and I think he's going to be pushed by Verlander being on his team, trying to outdo him. The X factor, of course, he's 38 years old. Can he stay healthy and avoid some of the nagging injuries that have kept him sidelined? Well, it works for him, and what kind of is an advantage now is you don't need to throw 200 innings anymore to win the Cy Young. Verlander threw 175. I think once you get up to that, like, 170 mark, voters are totally fine with it. I mean, maybe even less when you look at some of these guys who have won it in recent years. So I'm going to go with Scherzer. I think he's going to be a huge, huge part of what the Mets are doing.
DVR, you go first because I got two names I can talk about.
I'm going Corbin Burnes. I think he's got one of the most complete arsenals in the game. It's the Corbin Burnes.
I knew it.
I was going to talk about Corbin Burnes. It's a great arsenal, and I think he's he could win a Cy Young. I like Brandon Woodruff there too, but my pick for the NL Cy Young is going to be Spencer Strider. I think that just like Derek said about Shane McClanahan, we're talking about taking the kid gloves off to a certain extent. I don't know that he's going to go 200 innings. I think throwing that many fastballs at 98 and that many sliders is just going to, and having hamstrings that large, having quads that large, is just going to maybe lead to some injury at some point. But I can see him throwing 160 innings with an ERA in the small twos and maybe even leading his league in strikeouts, despite not having the same bulk as other people in the mix.
Yeah, well, DVR right now, what's so wonderful is if you're watching us on YouTube, he's just frozen with this very happy expression because he's talking about Corbin Burnes on his team, the Milwaukee Brewers. All right, let's go AL MVP.
All right, I'm going to go off the beaten path here. There's, the obvious elephant in the room is Shohei Ohtani. If he's going to win the Cy Young, then I actually kind of think he'd just win the MVP too, right? So
yeah,
it's kind of hard to pick against him. But for my bold predictions, I just want to give Corey Seager some love. He's going to be hitting into the shift a lot less. He was the most shifted player in baseball. 99% of the time he was shifted last year. Seager hits the ball hard, makes contact. And I think the Rangers, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but if they do make the playoffs, you add that narrative, you know, where it's like he's the best player on a team that made the playoffs, and they're closer than ever to making those playoffs. So I'm going to give Corey Seager some love, some down ballot love for AL MVP.
I like that. And you're right. It's probably going to be Ohtani. But if we can pretend he doesn't exist for a second, if Seattle's going to win the World Series, like I boldly proclaimed.
There you go.
Julio Rodriguez has got to be probably winning the AL MVP, if not second or third, right? And just an absolutely terrific year. So he's obviously the heart and soul of that team. He's a guy who it seems like the sky is the limit. One of baseball's bright, bright young stars. I think he could absolutely be a guy who's in the mix for AL MVP.
Julio ascended.
Exactly. So we have NL, which is left, is our final award. Who are we going with, Eno?
Well, my bold prediction, if that thing comes true, then Acuna wins it. But and this might be chalkish, but I do want to highlight that Juan Soto is projected by Derek Carty's The Bat System to be the best position player in baseball this year. Wow. You know, and so that doesn't count like Otani adding the pitching to him. You know, I didn't do that part, but just straight up sorting for projections this year, Juan Soto goes to the top, and that's mostly because if you look at his line in the past, he has been a better defender in the past. He has been a better base runner in the past. I wonder if the calf injury last year hurt him in the field and on the base pass, because that stole a lot of his, you know, wins above replacement. It's adding all these things together. So if he can just be healthier with the legs, if he can just be a little bit better defensively, he picked a position, you know, this in the spring. He said, I'm going to play left field, and I'm going to stick with left field, and I'm going to get better at left field. So if he sticks with left field, he's better at it, he's a little better on the base pass, and then a little bit more power comes back. I do know this, he is one of those guys who hits a lot of balls into the shift, and so he's going to get some benefit there. So let's say he gets some batting out of benefit, he gets up to 280, he hits you 35 homers, you know, instead of 27 or whatever, and he's better on the base pass. It's going to look pretty easy, to especially if, as one of my other predictions goes, the Padres go far into make it into the postseason, go far into the postseason. It'll look totally obvious that Juan Soto could be MVP.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think that, you know, he didn't look comfortable at all last year. I think the trade talk really weighed on him, turning down the Nationals offer, really didn't get it going like I think a lot of people expected in San Diego, but poised for a huge year. I'm going to kind of stay in that same team, which just shows you how good the Padres are, and go Manny Machado, who I think a lot of people are picking to be in the mix, but it would still be somewhat of, I think, an upset if he wins that NL MVP. Huge career year, signs a monster extension. I think the addition of Tatis, Soto being back to, you know, Soto-ist levels, I think Manny could go out there and, you know, kind of repeat the year he had. I think he's a guy who does so much to help that team win that it wouldn't be all that surprising, right? I mean, here he is, 30 years old. He still believes he's in the prime of his career. He talked to me this spring, you know, about finally kind of using analytics offensively to get better. That for a while, it wasn't something that, like, he really did. And he feels like because he now uses all this information, Ryan Flaherty does a great job of relaying it to him over in San Diego, that he feels like the sky is the limit. There's still room for him to improve, which of course is a scary thought for everyone that's playing the Padres, right? That lineup is just, you had Bogarts in the mix. That Padres lineup just can absolutely mash with the best of them. And, you know, I think last year they ran into a Phillies team that they could not slug. I think this year they won't have a problem outslugging teams, especially if Tatis, who could be the comeback player of the year. I know that's not a regular award we talk about, but he could be the comeback player of the year.
That'd be a little awkward for baseball, but what I like about the Manny pick is what we saw, a fairly devastating ankle injury, and he was doing everything he could to get back on the field. He didn't even go on the IL, and I think it turned out he had torn ligaments in that ankle. And what you see is that with the torn ligaments in the ankle, you actually saw a drop in his exit velocity numbers. So what I think that you could see this year, a healthy ankle from the beginning, a dedication to his craft. And I think soft science wise, he wants to be a leader on that team, and he wants to take over and show everyone how good the Padres can be with him at the helm. So I think that makes a lot of sense. We have to wrap with our World Series picks real quick. What are we doing in the World Series? Derek, are you back with us? Are you going to give us a World Series pick?
I'm back. Braden's here too. So this is the joys of being a new parent. So if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see my son has joined the show. But I'm going to go with the Padres over the Blue Jays in the World Series. So I'll fold in my AL pennant selection in there.
Put the knife in my back.
I put it in the outline. It was in the sheet. It wasn't a big surprise. There's a whole table in there of all the awards. So yeah, I think this morning I pivoted. I put Bo Bichette in as my AL MVP because I thought, like, if the Jays are going to do this, something really has to go right. I think the way he finished last season, the torrid start to the spring, I think something clicked again for him, and he's back to being the excellent player he was for the better part of the last 2 years before that somewhat of a lull we saw for the first 4 months of 2022. So I think it's Bo Bichette and Vlad and that great core getting to the World Series, but falling just short against the Padres.
Ooh, the boldest pick of all. Eno and I start reading the rundown before the show starts.
I had the
Seattle,
Padres
so.
And Blue Jays with the Padres winning. What do I do now?
Well, you stick with it. Great
Just
minds
whine.
Think alike.
I'm gonna throw the raisin maybe over the Blue Jays. I like the Blue Jays. I'm just gonna change
Waffler.
It. The Blue Jays. What I like about them is adding Chris Bassett. You know that is bulk, and I did show recently that just having bulk out of your top five starters is good for winning. And even if they do, if Kikuchi doesn't make it, or if they have an injury, Ricky Tiedemann is one of the better young starting prospects in the big leagues, and Mitch White is decent depth. So I like the starting pitching. I really like the bullpen. I really like the lineup, and I really like the additions they made in terms of defense and left-handedness in the lineup. So I think that they kind of put the finishing touches. The reason I'll take the Rays is, you know, I'm talking about Wander Franco and how Wander Franco is going to take that next step this year. I think this is the year he stays healthy in a full year and he starts accessing that raw power. We see the raw power. We don't quite see the game power. But he has great contact ability. So if he can just access that raw power, now we're talking about a guy who can hit 300. He could hit 30 homers and he could steal you 20 bags and he could play defense. And he could do it on a team that can make the postseason. I think they just need a little more star quality. They've always had the sort of collection of guys. They have Randy who can get hot. Randy or Rosarena can get hot in the postseason. But in terms of driving them to the postseason, winning the division, or going all the way to the World Series, I think they need one more guy. So that's I'll take the Rays. But either way, they're losing. The Padres are taking it all this year. You got two out of three.
Wow. You already heard me pitch Seattle, so I'm not going to rehash all of that. Obviously, I think they win the World Series. That's my bold prediction. I do think the Padres, though, become the NL team. My only real question, though, is do the Padres have a starting pitcher that's going to propel them? They don't really have that ace. You know, it remains to be seen what's going to happen with Musgrove. Certainly, Blake Snell's the king of the five-inning starts, it feels like. So, you know, and Yu Darvish is kind of a guy who I think we can all agree is probably past his prime. So earmuffs, Derek, I think that maybe they go out and they get Corbin Burns from Milwaukee because I think he's not going to be in.
That's a spicy meatball.
I don't think they got enough left, though. I think the Padres.
Oh, man. AJ Preller will trade anything not nailed down to get that.
Yeah, but
the
Soto.
Jackson
Soto
Merrill.
Trade. Yeah. Maybe they do have enough, but man, they're just going to keep throwing everything into that roster. That'd be a huge, huge move if the Padres were able to pull that off.
So that's what I got.
Why first day back and you got to give me thoughts of Corbin Burns pitching for someone else before the end of this season?
Sorry.
Well,
we're 9 minutes.
You know what's
over.
Happening after that contentious arm hearing, right? Were you saying,
yeah.
Britt?
Oh.
I know. I said, and sorry, Derek, we're 9 minutes over on your first week back. Sorry, Braden, you probably got to eat.
Braden's not. See, that's the thing. Braden ate, and he's now content for the moment. I'm pushing my luck right now, so probably a good time to wrap things up. Glad we were able to patch it all together. Thanks for carrying us through when my internet died for a few minutes today. First show back. Nothing has to work the way that it's supposed to, but if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can find Britt at Britt_Giroli. Find Eno at EnoSaris. You can find me at Derek Van Riper. Braden doesn't tweet yet. He is cute, but he doesn't tweet. You can get a subscription to The Athletic for $1 a month at theathletic.com/baseball show. It's the best deal that we run all year, so be sure to take advantage of that while you can. The Athletic Baseball Show returns on Friday. Enjoy opening day.
You've always got the green light here.
Green light.